It's just.
Just it, so that, how do we, so that beside the table.
So if you'd like to talk to
them. So they can see the.
Very important.
Right, oh, you can't, I'm blocking you. Oh, no, but, oh, yeah.
That's fine.
Yeah, now we can see everybody. Okay, great. All right. I'd like to call the May 3, 2023 Newtown Borough Council work session to order. Please join me in the pledge. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Do we have any amendments to the agenda?
Do I need to make the movies in the park an amendment? We have a special events section, but it's not listed.
I think it's just discussion.
Right, yeah.
So that's where we have a couple items that are not listed, which are special events, which we'll discuss for vote next week. So.
I'm going to mention them.
Pardon?
I'll mention movies in the park.
Okay, so Dennis will be taking John's role over for the mayor's report.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay, so in that sense, yeah, we could add it as an amendment to the agenda because it is a topic. Anything else? Public to be heard.
Great comment from Relic on State. Thank you for having me this evening. Back on February 2nd of last year, I had set the Borough Council to check for permission for obtaining valet parking. I'm looking to continue to seek that for Saturday nights and for special events. Where I would look to secure two parking spaces on Center Street from the crosswalk to the space back. Again, this was originally asked for by my patrons. And the original thought was for safety, because at the time, I believe there were two pedestrians that were struck, and it's a nice feature. I've secured open door valet, which I believe currently does Rocco's. And I just wanted to know what the proper procedure is to go ahead and hopefully get this for running. Thank you.
So we do have, which you probably know from coming to us before, we have an ordinance against it, but you can come and get permission and there is a process.
Okay.
So we would need your specific plans, and you go to our code enforcement officer, the zoning office, and present to them, this is where I'm looking to park, this is where they will drive, this is where they'll put the cars, this is where the pickup place is, and what you're asking for in terms of days and time. So all that information needs to be there. And that will need to be reviewed by the police as well for safety purposes. And there may be a little back and forth before you then come to council on it. For example, you may be told, well, we're worried about safety for X, Y, and Z, or, you know, X businesses here, whatever. I think some of these things came up when you came up before us.
It did. One of the things that came up, Tara, was the question about whether or not would we be unloading or loading, mm-hmm. whether it was going to be on State Street or whether it was on Center Street.
Right.
And Center Street seems to be the best viable option because it's not two-way traffic and it's an easy load-unload of passengers where it's not obstructing passersby or traffic.
Right. There was some concern about state of pulling out. So, okay. So you would need to submit that. And then we go from there.
Okay, great.
So it's something where you, if you can work that out in the coming weeks, and then we can get you on the agenda in June.
Okay.
All right. Does anybody have any?
Yeah, was that all done last in February? I wasn't here, so.
Yeah, you weren't here, and but nothing was done. It was more proposed and discussed, okay. And you had some initial drawings. So.
Okay.
Yeah.
Great. Right. Thank you very much.
All right.
Where do you propose to put your patrons' cars?
In the parking lots behind Starbucks and where the old liquor store used to be. We had reached out and we had an agreement with Tom Smith to go ahead and, you know, this was the last piece of the puzzle.
Mm-hmm. Okay, and you know that will be temporary then until...
Correct.
Yes. So, okay, and then, so that'll be, well, when we get your application, the council will get to see it too, and, you know...
There are certain people who have permits in that area, so you should check to see where reserved parking is already.
Will do.
Okay, all right, thanks.
Okay, thank you very much.
Thank you. Can you give your answer, your last name to get a moment? Greg Conlon. Okay, all right. Because in case there's anything we need to let you know. Thank you.
Thank you.
All right, we received a request for public to be heard from Gina.
Yep.
Also.
I am Gina Santoro. I am Giovanni's Fine Fashions in Vero. And this is the third year we're going to be doing the Pines Pink event. It'll be October the 12th. We're starting early, trying to get things taken care of, so we have a lot more preparation this year. And one of the things we need to find out is if we are okay to use the banners on the light posts. Last year, those banners gave us the opportunity to raise over $10,000 in addition to what we did the year before. And I realized that the Newtown Experience has them for certain weeks during the year. And I know that one of the things they wanted to do was to have flags up until Market Day, which is October 7th. So we're asking for the banners, for the banner posts to be utilized by the Pine to Pink event October 8th through the 31st. So tonight I'm just putting in a request for that.
And you spoke with Newtown Experience on that day, and they're good.
I have.
Oh, okay, yeah. But for that time frame.
Yeah, you're just... so this is the first approaching anyone. Okay. Is there anything further that I need to do? Like, is Newtown Experience now in control of the banners, or is this, they just have it for certain times? I don't know how that works.
It's a quasi control where they come to us and council ultimately approves what goes on the borough's light poles, but we don't manage it. We don't store them and make decisions and design them and all that. But we understand there's certain events, and sometimes other nonprofits have had events and they put up banners for that. But what I think I can speak for council when I say we want everybody to get along and work together.
Absolutely.
So does anybody want to see the banner?
This is the banner. I was going to say we need to see it through this.
Yeah. So the same ones that we did last year, which we have a sponsor on each pole, and then it just basically is announcing the sponsorship and the Night Pink, which is our Pine to Pink event. So this is the actual banner that was up last year. Okay.
So you had banners with different businesses.
Yes.
On each
pole. Yeah. Each one. It was part of the sponsorship package that we did, and they were on the banner on the corner of Center and. Was it in Washington? We had ones on either one, and then each pole was sponsored by a different business in town.
So that makes sense when you're saying why you made money from it. It's from the sponsorships. It's not from the advertising to bring people in, because that's amorphous. You don't know that.
No. It is specifically the businesses paid to have their logo up on the light post sponsoring.
And are they borough businesses or not?
Most of them are borough businesses or Newtown businesses. So one of them was a company that supplies the pro shop for their t-shirts. So the pro shop was able to secure them. A lot of them were businesses like First Bank. We had Anthony Petz's Financial. We had Meister, obviously, Med Cigars. We had a lot of local, they're all local businesses. Rothman, which is around the corner, not in the borough, but they also sponsors.
Hi, everybody. If you don't mind me jumping in here, Matt from Med Cigars. One of the things with this banners is every penny that we raised went to Pine to Pink, the organization that works with the Kin Center. All those monies are kept right here in Bucks County for people, women, their families, support networks, for people right here in Bucks County. So that every dime goes towards care for them, whether it's getting different shares that they need for cold packs, or whether it's massage, or they do yoga, they do meals for families and everything else. So it's this organization that every penny that we come in, that comes into us goes there. And that's why we did sponsorships on banners themselves.
The first year we raised $7,000 that went there. Last year we did over 17,000 with the help of these banners. And that's just in one night. One night of our event, which Matt got the street closed. Thank you to all of you who agreed to that. Last year, we plan to do the same thing. You'll be seeing them very soon, have that done. And this year we're adding another level to it, which I cannot speak of right now. But we are it's gonna be a lot of fun, and you all will want to be there, I guess.
It will actually, I'm just running out, you're not gonna see me in a sweatshirt that time.
That was awesome.
And guys, we're gonna come to Harville Council also, just so you'll know. For the June meeting, because we're going to need approval from Borough Council to allow us so we can position to end up to have the street closed down. We're going to go through everything formally, but it has to have approval of the governing body of that municipality, borough, township, in order to be able to petition the state to have that section of street shut down, because it is a state road. So that's something that we're going to be putting on the agenda for the June. Yes.
I was privileged to attend last year and had fun, but because you cover the lights with the plastic, it gets very dark.
That's something we're addressing this year. That was one of the biggest comments, one of the biggest takeaways last year was the very dark. So we're going to get bank lighting to where we can illuminate the street better, not just for the raffle tables, but for all the people that came out and had tables set up there. So we're going to increase the lighting so it's a lot brighter for everybody.
Okay, thank you.
Absolutely. If you have any other concerns, let me address it, because I mean it was a great event. We were very fortunate that the monies that we were able to raise for this great cause. And of course, as you all know, October is Breast Cancer Awareness Month. And that was one of the reasons why we always target October for this fundraiser. But to be able to see the reaction from some of the people at Ken and be able to tour Ken and what Pine to Pink's doing, it's quite humbling for us.
Where is Ken located, and how do you spell Ken? Is it K-I-N?
K-I-N.
K-I-N.
Yeah, and this is Lewiston. Yeah.
Can we submit names for the dunking team?
I think our schools are looking like you have some operation.
The borough is in the process of developing a policy with respect to the use of the light poles and banners.
Mm-hmm.
So once that's developed, you can take a look at the policy, and then we can explore whether or not there's.
When is that coming out?
We have a draft of it, and that I just have to share with council, so it'll be within the next few weeks.
The reason why we're on this so early is because this new event that we're adding, we really need sponsorships, and we have to be able to tell those sponsors what we're including in the money that they're going to be providing. So it's really, really important that we get this sooner rather than later taken care of.
Will we have this ordinance or guidelines ready before the next meeting?
Council would have to.
It has to be adopted.
Yeah. And I guess the question is, what in the draft policy or what could potentially impact them is what I'm thinking.
It's the banners that they're showing have commercial speech in them.
Mm-hmm.
So a lot of the policy is directed at commercial speech.
And so far, we've only had nonprofit. And to help you all understand, what we didn't want was that, well, you let them do it, so why can't we? And we're a business, so we just want to put up advertisement. And I understand you're a nonprofit, and then it's got commercial speech on it. Lauren, I also know I've seen some towns, and this is actually moving into the policy discussion, not you, but they have, you know, it might be what, I don't know if you were here when Matt came for the Hometown Heroes.
Yep.
Right, but sometimes, like I've seen them, at least in one town, where then they advertise at the bottom the company, the business, local business that sponsored that banner. And so there's Hometown Heroes, here's the name of the person. And at the bottom, it's like, you know, so-and-so's hardware house. And I don't know if that's speech or not, or if that's different.
It is. It's advertising.
Yeah.
So again, I'll take a look at the policy. We have a draft of the policy that I haven't circulated yet. Mm-hmm. So take a look at the policy in the context of these banners. And again, it's up to council to decide.
Okay.
And if I may, the Hometown Hero banners, just an update on that. We're getting the hardware, everything's printer. And like I said this before and mentioned, and we have not come up with anybody other than the names that we already have. It was a lady by the name of Mary Bond, but she wasn't killed until 1946 in a plane crash in the police. So we don't have that. But we reached out to the NAACP, the African American Museum of Bucks County. So we've been exhausting every lead possible to make sure that we were totally inclusive for everybody from the Newtown area. But in reference to our banners, at least the Hometown Heroes, there is absolutely nothing on there saying any sponsorships or anything else. Just at the bottom,
right.
Lest we forget. I mean, what you saw is what we're doing.
Oh, I know. Yeah. That was just another town kind of that. So that's something we'll have to sort. And your deadline is coming up soon for getting sponsorships, right?
Yeah. So basically, we have to be at least 4 months out from when we're actually doing this event to have a sponsorship for this new event that is taking place that night. But to go back to what you were saying about working with the Newtown Experience, absolutely, 100%. That's why when you go for the whole month of October, because I know that they do want to put stuff up for Market Day. So
just revisit
that.
Okay. We can be in touch. I was saying, Uncle Daddy Council, have any other comment?
Just that we'll try to address it by the June meeting.
Yeah,
at the June meeting.
You get approved at the June meeting, would that work for you? Yeah, I mean, that would, I'll have to deal with it. That's what I'll have to.
That's the second,
yeah.
The full council meeting, not work session.
Okay.
Do you want something for the work session in writing for that June meeting about the banner, or is it just going to be going on?
It's more of our policy and then how yours works with our policy we ultimately get. And you're back to the Hometown Heroes. Those are definitively met the ordinance requirements for the height, right? We're double check on that. All right, good. Okay, so we'll be in touch.
Okay, great. Mm-hmm. Thank you.
And just a general procedural comment. I should have made you an amendment to the agenda because we went over 5 minutes, but they did ask ahead of time to be able to speak. So technically, this should have been not public to be heard, which we want to keep for 5 minutes. All right. Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay. Do we have any other public comments? All right. Nobody online. All right. Sidewalk ordinance update and engineer's report. Bisha.
Okay, I'm glad to see Mrs. Waldorf is in the audience because she was the drafter of Chapter 480 Streets and Sidewalk that we're going to be talking about tonight. Julia worked through this section of the ordinance with my input. In here, you will see road restoration requirements and curb and sidewalk repair and replacement requirements for any sidewalk, curb, or driveway aprons, which we added in this ordinance, in the borough. So basically it tells you when you have to replace your curb or your sidewalk or your driveway apron and what the road restoration requirements are. We also fixed some typos, brought some things up to date. And in looking at this for tonight's meeting, between the time that this was drafted, I think in 2020, and now there's even a new change that has to be made to this ordinance due to PennDOT not calling anything bituminous material anymore. It's called asphalt material. So when it's time to be advertised, if Lauren's going to do that, I'll give you another draft of this ordinance. So I think tonight we just wanted to discuss it. Is that what we were doing tonight?
Yeah, I realized I should have given an introduction before we moved into it because we have so many members here are new. But if you recall, or if you are unaware, for those in the audience, council started an update of all of the ordinance book and we got our e-code up online and then worked through getting everything up to the modern world. And some of it was getting things in compliance with external requirements or tax law or whatever it might be. Some of it was taking care of language that was old. And we referred to like the highway department, which has been around for a few decades. And so there was a lot of that just general cleaning up, tidying up, and bringing it up into the modern world. The streets and sidewalks ordinance was more complicated than a lot of them. And so we set that to the side and said, we'll come back to it and give it what it deserves. Because as you can tell, there's a lot more editing in here than most of the sections had. And this started, I think, before you came on under Kevin McDermott. And then when Julia came on, she was fantastic to pick it up and really get things organized and present it to council and track it. This was one something that Sue was working with Michelle on at the end of last summer, right before we lost her. So I'd like to pick it back up and finish it. Everybody except Dennis had the opportunity to review it last summer. If you recall, it was sent out and we got input and incorporated that. Input that Amy gave that is more has to do with the paragraphs formatting, which I didn't go through and do each one. I figured when we do the final update, I would just say, do this to all of them. So that's my background. I just wanted to let everybody know that. And so in terms of discussion, it's more, does anybody have any input that they had coming into the meeting that they didn't have last summer? And I want to make one comment, which because it wasn't in the one in share file, but I asked Michelle we could take out the word telegraph because we don't have any more telegraph poles, it'll be gone. That was on Article 2, Excavations in Streets, Section 1. So other than that, is there a way you would like to go over the discussion, or do you just want to get any observations from council on it?
I think any observations, especially knowing that it was reviewed by council last summer. I have notes in my file that council did approve when sidewalk and driveway aprons and curbs should be repaired or replaced. And I don't know if it was last summer's council or previous council. But I'll just take any observations or any comments at this time.
Nothing. No, yeah, yours were more structural. I think Bob had some big picture comments, and then Sue asked for it to be specifically put in, but I think you didn't get around to that. But some of those are things that are elsewhere or really big picture. So I don't know if there's anything that you have that you felt ought to be addressed.
I had to address a neighborhood situation over the last week, so I will take a look at this tonight.
Okay.
And get back to you for next week.
Okay.
Are you
and
planning on voting on this
then? We're not ready because you need to then put some of the PennDOT things and so on.
Right. And I think you have to advertise.
I was thinking vote to advertise.
Okay. Oh, which will be fine. I can get that too.
Vote to advertise next week, or is that too soon for you all?
Not for me.
No. Just minor changes, Michelle, and I can work to get them cleaned up before it advertises.
Yep.
Yeah. Okay.
Okay.
Do you remember what meeting we did this at last year? I could look at the minutes.
It's in the work session. The document's in the central session.
Okay.
I'll send you the work session, like the document in there.
Yeah, that'd be helpful.
You gotta open it and download it and open it to get the edits.
Yeah, I can do that because I did it on something.
Okay.
Today. I just didn't
get
to that.
That way you can see what's old and what's new. Okay, so in general, is everybody pretty comfortable with voting to advertise this next Tuesday then? All right, very good. Thanks. Thanks, Michelle.
Sure. Everybody has a copy of my engineer's report. Just a couple things to note, the State and Court Street development, they're starting to install the underground basin this week. Steeple View, Lauren's going to handle that. The vegetated swale on Chancellor Street received notification that they're going to start mobilization next Tuesday when they're going to start. And the change order that was approved last fall allows them to work. All work to be completed by June 1st, which ties into the grant that was received by the borough to do that work. And the this year's road program, the notices to the residents on North Elm Street will go out this week.
I think the water company has finished that because there's macadam over the work area.
That would be surprising. They weren't supposed to finish for a while.
When I drove by there today, it looked like it had been completed because there was a coating.
Hmm. So. Yeah, they weren't supposed to be done until June 30th. Maybe some other work.
Preliminary.
Okay.
But they've been working on it.
Okay.
Thanks, Michelle.
Mm-hmm.
All right, Lauren.
Oh, thank you. And I will start by apologizing for my tardiness this evening. I got stuck in much more traffic than I anticipated.
No problem.
So Steepleview, as council knows, there is currently an extension through the end of May to act on this. My understanding is that the applicant has met with Michelle and attorneys from my office regarding their plans, and we're anticipating that there will be a new submission coming in. It hasn't come in to my knowledge yet. I don't think Michelle has seen it either. We have received a conditional use application coming in. So I believe that there has been an additional extension request that was received from Mr. Duffy last week. So they're looking at for an extension through the end of July. That will give an opportunity for them to submit revised plans, for Michelle to review them, and also to potentially consider land development and conditional use concurrently at the same meeting rather than kind of spreading this out over multiple meetings. So I believe that that request will be on next week's agenda. And that's essentially the update. So
can we suggest to them to request a longer extension? We had the same decision,
right?
So like October 31st, because then it gets voted on by the end of the year by current council. And if it gets done earlier, great. If it doesn't, we don't have to do this again. Or two more times, or three more times.
If council's of a mind, I can certainly suggest that to them.
That's just my
I agree. And they were hoping that, or expecting that it would be sooner because of the contract professionals for the traffic study, the gap study, and the parking study, all of which were needed either for the land development or for the conditional use for parking. So,
and if I read them, they would know, yeah. Right, those weren't done.
Right. No, exactly. Yeah. And study, at two planning commissions ago, they representative from the traffic study engine firm said they thought it would be maybe 2 to 3 weeks, which whatever is happening internally for them, they were not able to provide it when expected. So
I could also add, I'm sorry, that I did speak with the traffic consultant for the applicant at the end of last week and saw a preliminary, the traffic study as they wanted to submit, mm-hmm. However, and we talked about it via Zoom. However, certain aspects that were in that traffic study were not in agreement with conversations that I had had with their attorney. And with the attorneys from Lauren's office. So I suggested that they go back, they talk to their client and revise it as necessary. So I think the traffic study was ready to be submitted, but it wouldn't have been correct for our discussion.
I see. Okay.
So that was just as of last Friday.
Oh, okay.
So I don't know when we're gonna see it again, but I know that we're supposed to get revised plans by May 12th.
Mm-hmm. Okay, correct. Thank you.
In speaking with the neighbors in that section of town, they're very concerned about the impact of Court and State and the proposed routing of traffic from Steepleview.
Mm-hmm.
And so we need to have adequate notice and opportunity to be heard from the neighbors and the business community, because this impacts the parking situation in the Steepleview area, as well as State Street and the from Stocking Works all the way to the Relic area.
Mm-hmm.
So I think we need an adequate hearing for extensive comment from the community.
Mm-hmm.
Well, the conditional use will require advertising and posting and all that sort of thing. So there would be extra notice to go to the neighborhood.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
So no action tonight, but that'll be on next week's agenda. And I'm getting the idea that council is in agreement that maybe a longer extension might be warranted.
Well, we discussed this with Mr. Duffy the last time, and he was insistent on 30 days. And my prediction of his client's dilatory actions were true.
I'll suggest it to him, and if he takes it up on the suggestion, then
so we can. I think we can say that council would be amenable to a longer time frame.
Yeah,
and they can always get it done sooner.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah,
they can always get it done sooner, and if they want to pull it back,
The extensions through you on a repeated basis just increase the cost for the borough. And that's unnecessary.
Yeah.
I mean, they've only had since 2009 to bring this forward. So.
Okay, so next.
So next on our agenda tonight is there's a discussion on alcoholic beverages.
Yes.
So it's an open discussion.
This is not something that your office was expecting to be prepared on. It's more I want to see if council wants to direct you to assist us in the process. The question is council interested in having some sort of permit application and process whereby there could be alcohol available in a controlled area? Say if the rec board was having an event, they talked about this at their meeting, and one of the things I was thinking was for nonprofit fundraising events that are on public property. For example, the Black and White dinner that the theater held, they close the street off. It's a contained area. Is there a way to make some sort of, initially extension of property was discussed, but that we might be able to do something whereby they have a permit in the street for that area, just for that specific time, so that alcohol can be consumed. A lot of the things that I found often had sales. So it was more for an event where you might have somebody selling it. The county has a permit which reflects the state permit process, and that was suggested by Rudolph Clark as a base, and then we could tweak it for ourselves. And Record also talked about it, so when I had this conversation, do you want to talk about what Record said?
Yes, yeah, so Tara and I came at this from three different angles, but it's the same end goal. The Record would like to do more events geared towards adults and not necessarily children or family related, things like maybe a BYOB Oktoberfest in Linton Hills Park, you know, something like that. And so in order to do that, or even, you know, invite food trucks to rec board events that might sell beer or this or that, they're not interested in selling any alcohol themselves, but they want the opportunity to be able to have events for adults that include alcohol.
Mm-hmm. I spoke with Chief about this the other year when I was percolating in my head, and you said when you were in Seneca, and they had an option for that, and they would.
There were special events at the place that were, were involved, or a select group that were invited guests, and anyone else would be in violation if they were not part of that group.
Right. Okay. So we could have something with a similar group where it says you have to have the wristband, or you have to get your ID checked, or you have to do something to show that you're of age.
Yeah, and the liquor control board requires all that. So yeah. The two types. So you have kind of the BYO, which is a different kind of event, mm-hmm. And then if they're selling it, they actually have there's a liquor license they have to have in order to be able to do that.
Yeah, I saw that one too. Yeah,
The beer fest that Saki works, is that because it's private property? So is that different?
If you're selling alcohol, you have to have a license from the
so they have to do that special event.
Okay,
they have to do the PLCB
through LCA. Okay,
it's usually a catering license, so that's what the fire halls and everything have it.
Okay,
so, yeah, beer gardens, all that.
Okay.
I'm counsel to FACT, which is the HIV AIDS organization in New Hope, and we run bingo 4 times a year at the fire hall. And the only way we could sell alcohol was through a establishment that had a liquor license.
Mm.
So if we go forward with this, we have to make sure that we comply with that requirement if it's operative here.
Well, my suggestion would be to make sure, put that burden on the applicant, whoever wants to sell the alcohol, to prove that they have all of the right insurances and licenses and all that.
Yeah.
And then they
BYO. then because I think that's what you're thinking, or they would purchase it from the trucks, which would then have to show their licenses.
They would have to show their
If it's like a public fundraiser event and you say bring your own, then we'd need, that would be different. But yes, you're right. Anybody selling it would need to have a proper license around it. Okay,
but the requirement there was because we were a nonprofit dispensing alcohol for a price.
Right.
There had to be a authorized agent.
Because in its essence, you were selling.
You were selling.
Liquor licenses are very stuff.
Yeah.
So is council interested in the general concept? Would we like to authorize the solicitor to pursue this?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Give us some options. All right. Any other comments or questions on that topic? Lauren, do you have anything else under the solicitor's report?
I do not. Happy to answer any questions, though.
Anybody have any questions for Lauren? Okay. All right. And we have our substitute, Mayor Emeritus.
Substitute Mayor. On John Street, Ford here, he has a special event application that he says to the open air park show Sunday, July 23rd, sponsored by the MBA from 8 a.m. to 5 right out here. The rain date is July 30th. Second event is Movies in the Park, obviously sponsored by the Rec Board on Wednesday, June 7th, June 21st, and July 12th, from 7 to 10:30 at Lincoln Park. And lastly, our neighbors next door do their annual street food fair and gala on Tuesday, June 13th, from 4:30 to 8 p.m. right outside here on North State from Green to our home here. There's no tree ahead.
Mm-hmm. Does anybody have any questions or comments on?
Can I ask why the movies were moved from July to June? Because school is still in session.
They've always been a mix of June and July. And they pick days that someone can be there to oversee it. And then I believe they're planning on doing maybe bringing back music in the parks, which is also then in the later summer. So they're moving these a little.
Okay.
If I may, there was one more that came in before I could put it on the agenda because it came in a little late. But the music on the street is now going to be sponsored by the Newtown Theater. And this is something that's going to require discussion. They want to have Wes Green for their site. From my standpoint, West Green is very simple as far as closing off the road for safety and vehicles and everything else. There's other things that have to be discussed by council as to whether or not it closes off West Green to that street, but it goes back to the park. And
they have a one-way road.
Right. In and out, right?
Yeah.
So it'll be something we could discuss later, but it's just that has been proposed. And like I said, from the road closure standpoint, quite simple, but there's more to it than that. So
for the I looked quickly at the application for the food fair.
Yes.
Do we close off Green to Washington, or do you just
shut down? We close off Green to Borough Hall, or from the state from Green to Borough Hall, but only one lane. We keep one lane open.
Okay.
And what we have done in the past is, due to the nature of their event and the safety of their persons, we have them put jersey barriers to secure that, so that no one, the vehicle brings off and starts anywhere else.
Okay.
So that would be fine.
Thank you.
Thanks, Bruce. So the theater event, is that something that
that'll be in July and August.
So we have time, and we can vote on it in June once we sort it out. Okay. All right. Thank you. Agenda items for the May 9th council meeting. So we have the removal of the handicap parking space located at 115 Liberty. Everybody saw the minutes when that was put in, and the owner has notified us that because they put a driveway in and they put an addition on. Some of you were around for voting for that addition some a couple years ago, but it's all done and they now have off-street parking. So she no longer needs the handicapped spot out front. And so is I thought very thoughtful and to think of it and to let us know that we can turn it back to public parking. So is there any comment on that?
Is that an ordinance that we passed for them?
Mm-hmm. Was done by motion.
Yeah. Well, yeah, we do have to vote on it.
We have
voted
to vote
on by motion, so you can vote by motion.
Okay. Yeah. We can't just automatically.
So we can we list that for next time?
If everybody's good for it, then mm-hmm. we'll put it on next week. Yeah.
With the ice house, there would be helpful to have another spot there.
Yeah,
there's been a lot of parking in the 2000. Yeah, so good for their business.
Okay. So when I was at the last tax collection committee meeting, the quarterly meetings, which are the representatives of the municipalities, to specifically on EIT collection and things pertaining to it, Keystone, so on. I think everybody recalls we renewed the agreement with Keystone to continue to be our tax collector at the last meeting. At this meeting, we were urged to pass a resolution asking the state legislature to allow us to have our 1% of the EIT that is collected by Philadelphia. So right now, Philadelphia collects 3.448% of the earned income for anybody who works there. The Philadelphia wage tax is what it used to be called. The Sterling Act is what put it into place. So it was not fair for the residents to then pay us our 1% on top of that. So there were laws put into place saying they don't have to. But in the meantime, we are now losing out on what could be income to the municipalities of the adjacent counties for their own provision of services. So the goal for the TCC board is for all municipalities who are involved or anybody who wants to, to pass a resolution asking for this change. Then they will collect them all together and send them as a group to all the area legislators saying, we are the Bucks County Tax Collection Committee, and here's all these resolutions passed by all these towns. So rather than all of us doing it independently, it shows like this organized effort. So everybody got the sample resolution and share file that happened to have Northampton in it. So our group is slightly different. We have 59 residents, known residents. So we have approximately 60. There might be some who don't tell us that we don't know that they're working in Philly. And our total loss in 2021 was $26,374. So, in it's here, we would say what our loss is. We would say excess of $26,000 because that would be at least what it is.
It could be more because we had 40 houses transferred in 2022.
True.
So there's a lot more new residents that may not be aware of the requirements.
And they may work in Philadelphia, and therefore Philadelphia would take that wage tax. Yeah. From them, and we are not getting that EIT, that 1%. The other issue, and I sent this email, to Lauren, Mike, and everybody sees that the back, I think the sentence is just really written. It says, now therefore it be resolved, and it says, and require that an amount of up to 1% of the non-resident Philadelphia wage tax is paid by non-residents of Philadelphia be remitted to the municipality in which the taxpayer resides. Which reads that it's 1% of what their tax is, not our 1% out of the 3.4%, but 1% of the 3.4%. So we just need some language cleanup so that it reads that up to 1% of the earned income of these non-residents. So that's something that we would ask the solicitor's office to do for us so that it.
Do we want us to 1% or do we want 1%?
We like 1%.
Can we be clear on that?
We can. This was a draft ordinance provided by the TCC to the municipalities who participate in it. So we can certainly
1% is
yeah. We can ask for our
1% by law, right?
So yeah, we can do that. And rather than just say we want to.
Is this a resolution to petition the state government?
In essence, yeah. It's, I mean, not a petition where everybody signs, but it is. It is a petition to the legislature in concept.
Okay.
So I don't know if you have any comments on this or.
Yeah, I mean, that's the main crux of this is if you're asking the legislature to repeal the Sterling Act. It's I don't know that there's a sponsor for that quite yet, but.
Or to modify it, to amend it. Like,
good luck.
They can amend it so that we get our 1%. That's the goal. We don't mind if they continue to have it.
And that's, obviously, yeah. There's some of the surrounding communities are hit much harder than we are. So,
yes,
but they have a lot more stake in the game. But
1.3 million in North Carolina. First of all, bigger than we are, too. Oh, wow.
Bedale and they get killed on it.
Yeah, they're closer. And what's interesting is some people in the legislature become aware that there are towns far away that actually pay because of this for the schools. Just because the school districts are reimbursed from the state for the money that they don't get because of this. So therefore taxpayers across the state are actually contributing towards making it up for the schools. So as some of the legislators have become aware of this, there's some noise to fix it because to amend it so that their taxes aren't impacted. This was described to us in the meeting, so I don't know how many or how much this noise is, but there has been some conversation.
Do the other municipalities who are, you know, who might be cooperating in this know about that critical language change in that last paragraph?
It was brought up in the meeting, and I was going to bring really it up, and then somebody else also brought it up, and I said, yeah, I saw that too, and, you know, he read it out and said, like, it says this. And so everybody heard it, and we were told you can amend it or change the ordinance draft ordinance however you like so that it suits you. So it was said. I think everybody knows that.
It's a resolution, though. It's not an ordinance.
I'm sorry. Yes. Yeah. Yeah. Resolution. It's not ordinance. Not ordinance. Resolution. Yes. Yeah. But thank you. It's a good question. So would we like to do this? And does anybody have any questions? Because it was sort of complicated. And, you know, I ended up Googling super credit and learning how that works and so on.
I don't, yeah. And for what it's worth, I don't think there's much of a downside to it.
Yeah. And we've, before I brought it to council, I confirmed with Pat that she was thought this was a good idea. She
Philadelphia's bond rating went up today since they have a $700 million reserve.
Mm-hmm. And so, I know Philadelphia is like needs money and their taxes are money. But
what did she say?
This would keep it, I think, more equitable, really. Mm-hmm. And as everybody saw this sort of general description of the history from the 30s, we're not the small town farmland that we were
right.
in the past. And we have a lot more services that we provide today. Okay.
Thank you for attending.
Thank you. So what we'll do is we'll have, and Lauren, when I say we, that means you and I, we'll have an updated resolution, draft resolution in everybody's, in Chicago at the end of the week so that it reads Newtown Borough or the Borough of Newtown and the our numbers are in. And we have a clarification at the end. Okay, regarding the Cook Memorial Leak on East Washington, there was no discernible environmental damage has been ascertained. So that's good news. And it's under investigation. Annual street sweeping to be held
Before I go back to that. Who's responsible for the cost?
Cost.
You're talking about the cleanup of the oil.
Oh, right? The Rocco's for their insurance. They're the property, the owners.
Okay, because the newspaper story said this was a theft problem. You know, people stealing oil from all these different restaurants and things.
Well, it's under investigation. So.
Okay. But between us and Rocco's, it's Rocco's responsibility.
It is not the borough's responsibility. No.
Okay.
Correct. And it's the property. So it could go to the property owner as opposed to the restaurant. That's between them and their insurance company. But we're not paying anybody.
Thanks to our emergency services who were right on that.
Yes.
The company that was here, because I came over, and they were doing an excellent job.
Mm-hmm. Lots of scrubbing. Okay, the annual street sweeping is to be held Wednesday, May 17th, and Thursday, May 18th, with a rain date on Monday, May 22nd. Information will be updated in the scrolling news section on the borough website if needed. And Bob brought up at the council meeting the idea of having some signs, and you looked into it, and
we can get 20 signs, double-sided, and it's 18 by 22 for $250 with, they're like the political signs where the plastic goes stakes. Over the stakes, and we need to order them tomorrow for them to be available. And I suggest that we worked on some language. I can't remember what it is off the top of my head, but it refers to the street cleaning this week and go see the website for which streets and things.
Mm-hmm.
That way we can use it
every year.
Pardon?
Yeah.
Reusable.
Exactly.
And a reusable yes. signs.
Yeah. No date, just this week, right?
Just
right.
this week, and then it tells you to go to the website to see mm-hmm. what streets and what dates. Mm-hmm. So we could reuse them every year, and the cost is only $250.
So my question for you, Lauren, is, it's only $250. Do we have to vote on this expenditure next week, or can we council just say yes today? We're
okay with the bill list?
Yeah.
Okay.
And we vote on it at the bill when we do the consolidated expenditure.
So I have a green light?
Yes. It'll be in the consolidated expenditure. Okay. We'll vote on it then.
I'll do it. I will be back in touch with them in the morning because we're waiting to hear. And okay. It's going to be done by a local business, Minuteman, right on Sycamore.
Great. Thank you.
And they've done a lot of other municipal announcements for us also. So
okay. You're
good people. Over
there. Thank you very much.
Thank all you, right. everybody.
So the update on the single trash hauler ordinance, I received input from one person. In fact, he might have like thorough comments. So that will then... along with some comments that I have, go back to Barbara Morley, who we're working with at Rudolph Clark on this ordinance. So I know everybody had time to take a look at it. It's kind of long. Is there anything else anybody wants to say about it before it won't be your last time, but before we then engage in that discussion with Barbara?
I think the issue should die.
You're against the concept.
Totally opposed.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's all going to end up on Judy's desk if there's a single hole and somebody misses and it's over a hall. And we only have we're down to three trash collectors. I don't think there's a great need for a single hole or a four needs.
Well, we're three down to residential pickup.
Yeah,
but there are other commercial pickups on other.
Right, but this wouldn't impact them. Yeah, this is only residential.
Yeah,
and there was a lot of discussion. We had public input, a lot of work went on that, and some of it has to do with questions of things like what could go wrong, and perhaps this is something that we can.
I
talk about further. It's not on the agenda right now to talk about, but it is true. There are a lot of questions. What if this? What if that? Part of the idea would be, how do you prevent that? How do you say you don't pile at Judy's desk? You go to them. Do we have flexibility? There were a lot of residential concerns, and those are things we'd like to incorporate in it so that those questions are answered, or
I
love confidence.
I was up yesterday to watch the pickup on Bank Street. And instead of a truck going every fifth or sixth house, it was going every third house. So there's fewer trucks with greater pickup by the same companies. And considering that municipalities have been faced with the loss of all haulers after they went to a single hauler, I think the risk is too great to go to a single hauler.
So you're concerned that if that hauler quits the way Republic did, then we might be at a loss. You mentioned it.
Be a lot of trash in Borough Hall Park.
Yeah.
Okay, let's She was going to be busy.
So it's just table.
Let's come back to this. We'll, without spending too much money, work with Barbara on it.
That's what I was going to say.
Yeah.
If you don't have the support,
Let's just table it.
The EAC has, it was eager for us to pursue it, and council did have put a lot of time into a special meeting and collecting input from the public. So
major,
why we are where we are.
EAC's major concern was the volume of trucks and the noise. With fewer haulers, the volume of trucks and the impact on the road is much less.
How many haulers do we have before?
We had five at one.
Five, and now we have 30, right?
Yeah.
Now we have two.
When I started 7 years ago,
uh-huh.
We had two. And then we had there's this one. That one.
Thank you.
Register and got to five because people kept wanting something else for one reason or another. Cost savings, local, blah, blah, blah. But now, especially now with Republic leaving, which is a little shocking, I think for a lot of people that had Republic, never saw that coming. What I wanted to add was, well, with Republic leaving, that brought us down to three.
Okay.
And I called Republic because they were a registered hauler, and I had, a bit of a relationship with the guy that I would fill out the form every year. And I never shared this with anybody, but he kind of scared me, to be honest, because he said, we're getting out of this single, individual subscription. He said, and your other haulers probably are too. We haven't seen that. We haven't seen any indication of that. But he said, we're only going with, these single hauler contracts. Now, we don't want all this individual private subscription. But I'm like, okay, that Whitetail leaves us, then McCullough leaves us, then Wade Pennington leaves us too. And forces this, but whatever, if they did, then we would do a single
hauler. We would figure out,
But I'm just saying, to Bob's point, it is a little,
background. That information, thank you.
Is part of the information that you're going back and forth with Barbara about adding some language about opting in?
Right now, the ordinance is not the ordinance to do it. The ordinance is just to have an ordinance that allows us to pursue it, to even do it. Because right now, our ordinance, and none of our ordinance having to do with trash pickup allows us to even have the single hauler. So we need to be allowed to do it, and then we can pursue it, get proposals, see if we want to do it. But we can't do all that. We could end up saying we're allowed to pass that ordinance that we're allowed to, then get proposals, look into it, decide we don't want to, and undo that. But we have to do this to start. So that's how it would look if we did it would be part of that overall picture. But right now, that's just allowing us to do it. And it's a lot of pages to say that we are allowed to do it.
My issue with the draft of the ordinance right now is so much of it is about resident behaviors, and that really doesn't seem to inform what we're asking, what we're trying to do with the creation of
the ordinance. I think it's an update of the entire trash ordinance versus.
Right.
Yeah.
And I feel like
that's what's bogging us down.
So much of the language has nothing to do with our ability to just learn more about the process because we are now, given that ability by the ordinance. So I'm not in favor of tabling it right now because I feel like that's a sudden movement without it being a community conversation, and so much has gone into it and so many people have weighed in. And at our last public conversation about it, which I think was our last conversation about it, that about whether or not we pursue it, we're going through it. So I wouldn't want to see it pushed to the side casually.
Mm-hmm.
Does that make any sense?
I hear you.
Yeah. I'm not saying it goes, it doesn't. Mm-hmm. I just would like it to be a little bit more universally.
Well, I'll have a conversation about that, the length and complexity with Barbara. I do know that when she spoke to Sue about it, the reason all that is there is all legal reasons that it needed to be there. And she made that very clear. But we can still ask some questions about it.
Yeah, I can see how that language needs to be there if it's the trash ordinance. And so all of the stuff that, like, where do you put your hands? Like, what do you, all that stuff. That totally makes sense to me. I just don't see how it applies to this stage of it. Because, you know, whether it all ends up on Judy's desk or if you can opt out, all of those are next step questions, not our step questions. So we can't even get to that, catering to what the borough needs or wants until we do this part.
Right.
I have to say something to see things.
Okay. Last, we've come to the point where we'll think many people know that we haven't had the public announcement that Amy will be submitting her resignation the morning after the May 9th council meeting. So that meeting will signify the end of her duties and responsibilities for council.
Only if we approve.
Can't let it grow. So as of May 10th, per the law, council will have 45 days to vote to accept her resignation. Applicant resumes, I asked the council for their due date, you know, the 19th, 26th, so on. Emily, you came back with the 26th. I didn't hear from anybody else that would give us Memorial Day weekend plus the following weekend to review them, but give any applicants time to put their resumes together for us and their application letter. Are we good with that?
I think I sent you one date that I wasn't available, but I'll double check on that.
Oh, it's the date that they're due. You don't have to be available. It's the date that the last day we accept resumes. Right. So are we good with the 26th?
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Candidates for this position must be registered electors residing in Ward 1 and must have resided there continuously for at least 1 year immediately prior to being appointed. So next in the process will be the June 7th work session. At that time, council will vote to formally accept Amy's resignation and will also hold interviews of applicants. Then at the June 13th council meeting, council will vote to approve a new member by adopting a resolution. And the new member will then be sworn in. And Judy is going to advertise the vacancy on the borough website, and she'll provide the timeline and all the requirements that I just explained. So does anybody have any questions on that?
Are you planning on an executive session before the June 13th council meeting?
If council so wishes.
Okay.
But we would need to, you know, we did before for Dennis. So, I mean, not for Dennis, but before we voted. So. Would council like to have an executive session prior to?
Yes.
Okay. All right. So, Lauren, we're letting you know that prior to the 13th.
What is the remaining
thing? That's the voting meeting, right?
Yes.
Yes.
So, Judy, you got that.
Sorry. Can you clarify what the term would be for that?
Oh, yes. Thank you. Actually, I should have put this here. The remainder of this year, because of the timing in relationship to the general election, if we were close enough, then there would be no vote at that election. So, for example, in the fall, you know, by the time we appointed Dennis, it was too close, you know, for that election. So Dennis is filling out the term till this coming election and towards the end of this year. So whoever we appoint would then be on council through the end of 2023. That position is, there'll be 2 years left in Amy's term. So that position will be on the fall ballot, on the general election ballot. And the person we appoint could run or somebody else could run, but that person has to be on the ballot.
And then that person would, and that term would only be 2 years.
Yeah. Yes.
You do 4 years.
Correct.
Okay.
Yes. So they could finish and then say they want to do it again. And then it would be 4 years after that because they're going to finish Andy's term.
How does the candidates for the election get decided if the primary is on the 16th and this vacancy is not operative till June?
So there are applications to the Board of Elections, and I don't know all the details, but I know if it's through a party, then, you know, say your local party says, we want to have this person be put on. They have to go to the county party level and also to the county board of elections. And the county board of elections then has a meeting. They have to call a meeting. And then they have to approve that the person goes on the ballot. And usually, if your local committees say, we like this person, we nominate them, they'll be on board with it. But officially, the county board of election is the one that says, yes, okay, you're on. You meet all the requirements and we're good with you. You're going to be on the ballot.
How do we notify the Board of Elections that this is all happening?
We don't need to do this. This is something the applicant would do. If the applicant is going through a party, right, then that party's committee people will take care of that.
Okay, so we don't have to do anything.
We do nothing. And if the applicant is not in a party and not working with a party committee, then I don't know, the applicant has to talk to the Board of Elections themselves. So.
Okay.
Typically, the local political parties work with the Board of Elections to make sure all the right slots are on the.
Okay.
So this is in reference to the upcoming primary.
So if we're going to appoint this person, that makes in June. Their appointed term will end at the end of the year, and for whoever, yes, somebody that's needs to be sworn in.
But I was just wondering about.
Primary, no, because Amy's position is opening too soon to the primary, so
that makes sense.
Yeah. We won't even have it. We're going to accept her resignation.
Yeah, exactly.
If it had been on the primary, I would have had to resign months ago.
Gotcha.
Right.
Okay. Date
February.
Yeah.
So I have to say something. I'm out of town on the 13th, but I'm in the country. Okay. I'm sorry, I didn't realize that. I think I can remember.
We will bid on acquiring your proxy.
In the country.
Yes. Good. Okay. All right. Well, thanks for letting me. All right. Are there any other questions about this process? And Amy, thank you for bringing up the 2 year part. That was important.
Well, that was that.
All right. EAC, Amy?
I'm still here. So next Monday, the EAC will be hosting a meeting at the Chancellor Center at 7 o'clock to discuss the proposed single-use plastics ordinance so that there can be information given and ideas exchanged. There'll be someone from Penn Environment there, as well as representatives from the EAC. Surveys have gone out to Newtown Borough business owners to get their input because they'll be affected by this ordinance if it's passed. So right now this is a learning time, mutually, I think, from both the public and from the EAC.
So everyone's definitely encouraged to attend at the Chancellor Center on Monday the 8th.
Only thing I can't remember, is it going to be on YouTube?
No.
Okay.
It's not televised. Okay.
Yeah, so this won't be a hybrid meeting.
No.
If you want to be a part of it,
all treats will be served in compostable
bamboo forks. So okay, that's also a good question about that, because we only have that for our meetings. We don't get that the staff has to be paid to come in to run the machines.
Anything else you wanted to add about that?
The only thing I can say is that the township held a similar meeting a couple weeks ago, which I attended, and the feedback from the business community was quite positive. Mm-hmm. And the questions that were raised were mostly about how do we get alternative products. That And so we already know that that's an issue that the business people have concerns mm-hmm. about. And so I think Catherine's already reached out to Penn Environment saying, okay, do you have resources?
Yeah.
So, yeah. Right. So yeah, it's a, you know, it's a major compelling topic. But yeah, so I hope that it will be well attended. And thanks, Judy, for setting up.
Yeah, no, thank you.
It went out to about 50 business owners.
Okay.
These are minnows. Yeah. And it added to our things to
move forward. To the newsletter.
Uh-huh.
That's good. Okay.
Yeah. So mm-hmm. 120. Yeah.
Great.
I like that we have an opportunity. So like with the
there's latest still tool, more. Like yeah, I'm driving around thinking, wait a minute, I don't remember that name on the list. So
yeah. Yeah, I know. But like the last meeting that you guys all received, you know, I included them because we got the street sweeping information.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we have a lot of other things that are relevant.
Think of the businesses we want to know.
Yes.
And we have Jeff.
Yes.
And then we have Jeff.
All right. Okay, great. All right. Thank you, Annie. Mary Ellen?
So we have the remaining vacancies on committees, commissions, and boards. One on the EAC, one on human relations, one on START. We have an application for the recreation board from Amelia Asphalt, and that's in the share file if anybody would like to look at it. I have not met her, but I understand she's a lovely woman. Shade Tree Commission, zoning hearing board, one each, parking and signs ad hoc committee, and two on the walk-friendly Newtown Standing Committee.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you. All right, one last item. John and I were approached by the Newtown Historic Association. Oh my goodness, Dave, you're completely-
Wake up, Dave.
I'm sorry, you're all the way over there and you're all the way at the end of the agenda, I'm sorry. So Dave and Barry Fleck asked if council would, as the borough, would be interested in having a long-term sort of arrangement to use the garage at Patriots Park. There's two elements. One is in the front, there are two horse-drawn wagons, one more of a wagon, one more of like a carriage wagon, and Dave can speak more specifically to them. And for many years, they've been kept at Tamora Farm. I don't know if you know where that is, down across from the community college, in that barn. And while the owner is not saying to come get them now, it's quite possible that they may sell at some point, and then the Historic Association will be left wondering, you know, like, what do we do now? We have to go get them. Both of them were made in the borough, one at Randall and one, I forget the name, down on South State Street. And the other part of the request was materials for that are used in market day, like the candle dipping stuff or the also the flags for the house tour, that kind of stuff, is all in the Mercer Street facility. But they keep getting more things. In fact, just got are about to get a bunch of items from a family who had the house where Jefferson Court is now. And so there's always things coming in, and Dave's planning for the future and thinking about that storage space there. So could they have an agreement with us to put the wagons in the garage part and the quasi-finished room space to use that for storage? So we talked about that, but of course, I know other parties have had thoughts and ideas about things to do with that space. We might also be able to, you know, keep some things in there, or keep the wagons and move some of the stored items if we want to use the space for something else, like a rec board van or whatever. So this, you know, I want council to think about this and thoughts, ideas, but first, I want to ask Dave just to sort of, you know, I gave the intro, but if you could tell us a little bit about your thoughts and ideas on it.
Well, I'm afraid we're going to lose the space that we have these two wagons stored at Tamora Farm.
They've been there for like 20 years, and that's a long time. They don't even charge us rent, so we're pretty lucky about that. But the other part of the problem we're facing is we have storage at Mercer Street, and we store things like the flags for the open house, sign for open house, things of that nature, market day, signs, etc., candle making stuff is stored in there. If we could store it right on 4th Street, it's pretty much where we use it all. It would really be very handy for us to have it on 4th Street. And we actually could use the space at Mercer Street that we're tying up with that stuff. But I would like a lease that was fairly long term, because I don't want to have to move this stuff and then in a year have to move it again. So that's why I had asked for whatever you would want, long-term lease.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, not something that's a year or a couple of years, but
$1 a year, then.
Yeah,
probably. And then once we would lease the building from the park, after they put it in good shape, we would maintain it.
Mm.
In other words, if it needs painting, we'll paint it.
Okay.
If the roof needs to be replaced at that time, you know, 20 years down the road or whatever, we'll replace it. But I would expect the bar to put it in decent shape before we lease it from it. And there are two windows that are in.
We're very much aware.
We've already contracted for the replacement of the windows and the roof. But my initial response is I appreciate the Historical Society's need for space, but my recollection is that Steepleview, in the reconstruction of the barn, was supposed to provide the space, and now they want the space for parking. So that leaves, what public spaces do we have for events? And the interior of the building is in sound shape. Now, to the extent you want to integrate the garages and things and whatever, that's all doable. There's just a building issue. But to eliminate use of the space for public, whether it be for the kids or the adults or whatever event you want to handle there, taking away that space in the middle of town, which could be a public space, is a conflict. Now, I'm not saying one side or the other is better or we can compromise. But the loss of a public space in a public park, even though you're a nonprofit and you're very important to everybody here, that's my concern of you're taking away that space that we could use for public events, including marketing. We have a tension in the conflicting uses. They're both important, but to take away the space from public use is an issue, at least in my personal view.
And another thing added to that attention in my mind is that the Historical Association was really involved in supporting us obtaining that property and the getting the enthusiasm to begin with, and then running the donations through their site to then donate for the purchase of the property. And some major donors through that as well. So, but that doesn't mean that therefore we say, okay, now we don't want the garage and don't want to use it, because to your point, it's right there in town and other things that we can do for the public.
And I also think that I'm not going to review who the public donors were, but you know, they put in substantial money and we should consult with them as to what their ideas were.
That was my next question. When we acquired it, what was the initial purpose of that? Do we have something in mind to use the garage
for? We did not. The purpose was to save that historic property from, is, you know, as part of the Burton Hand and the original Shadrach Wally property. It's like the last remaining parcel piece that actually was there from the beginning under William Penn. Mm-hmm. And you know, it also has historic part elements, like the
people died there.
The Revolutionary War element as well. And we wanted to keep it because the prior owners they subdivided it, and they were actually looking to build a property, build a house on it, and just that would be the sort of end of that portion. So that was the idea behind it. The garage is a bonus. It was a very cute building, but it's not historic. But it just came with it. So
there was no a goal or intention for that building when we
ideas like, oh, we could have record thing, or like, you know, nature things or events and have kids and do stuff, but it was more just general ideas.
Well,
yeah.
I would like the rec board to go look at the space and during this process.
Yeah, we don't have to decide this today. Yeah. It's you know, something we could think about and get in.
Like something that comes to my mind for me, like if you wanted to have an event there from like 4 to 6 and it was a fundraiser or some public event and you wanted, someone was going to play music, a lot of DJs won't set up their equipment unless it's undercover. It could be some rain. That could be the perfect place for them to go. You know what I mean?
And like, then they open the garage. And there's ways we can do it, like half and half. For example, we could have the wagons in the garage part, and there could be his signs like with information on them, and they could open it up at various events. People could look at them and learn about them, and then we could not store the other things in the finished room, or we could put the things in the finished room and have some sort of screen so that you use the other part of the room, or you could take the things that, you know, in the finished room and move them into the wagon room when you want to use the finished room, which would be different than a band playing. But there's a flexibility to it as well.
There is an upper floor, but there's no controlled air, so that would be very hot and it could be damaging to them. Anything we'd want to say, anything.
Yeah, and it's awkward to get up there.
Pardon?
There's only a small opening to get up there.
Mm-hmm. I know, I've been up there since I'm small.
So you want to talk to rec board? You'll let them take a look at it. Okay. Think about it. And Dave, if council thinks on it, they have any questions for you,
feel free to ask.
We can reach out to you. Can we reach out to you or to Barry, to the NHA, or which
is probably me.
You okay. All right. Because we want to consider it carefully. It could be a real net plus for the NHA, and now he's offered the maintenance. But it is sort of a long-term commitment to do this too. So we have to know that this is what the town wants. And when I get the public comment, please let us know what you think. Do you have any announcements?
Yes. New Hope Celebrates will be sponsoring the Pride Parade on May 20th. All elected officials and candidates are invited. Contact me for information, because you have to be in Lambertville about an hour ahead of the start of the parade, because we crossed the bridge and finished in New Hope. We have many federal, state, and local officials and candidates who come to that parade. We draw at least 5,000 people for the parade. It's a lot of fun. And it's inclusive of everyone.
Thank you. Any other?
And speaking of inclusiveness, the Pennsylvania House of Representatives passed House Bill number 300, which is called the Pennsylvania Fairness Act, which adds protection to a variety of communities, including the LGBT community. And we hope the Senate is wise enough to also pass that, because the governor said he will sign it. Also, everybody remember, May 16th is Election Day. Tell your friends and family and everybody eligible to go vote.
All right, thank you. All right, any other announcements in relief to the borough? All right, public to be heard.
Yes. Okay. So I did want to speak to the garage at Patriots Park. When we got that property and started looking at its potential and working with the architect to develop, although the renovation of that building is not part of that project and their grant, what it could be used for in the future was definitely part of your discussion. And the ideas that people were coming up with and asking me about, so it really meant that people were interested in that in the public space, not as a storage space. I understand that I'm sympathetic to the Historic Association's need to store artifacts, But once that becomes a storage garage, you've lost a very valuable space in a very great location. The design that was put together anticipated that that area in front of the garage would be paved, would be bricked and paved as a sort of a plaza in front, and that and graded so that that would be the opening to that building. Part of that space is also identified as the handicapped spot that is required to park. But the anticipation was that there would be events that would be both inside that building and in the park itself. So I think that the need for small spaces in the middle of parks is really necessary in the borough. And I think that, that having it once it's fixed up, once it's all fixed up on the outside, if you're looking on the inside, it wouldn't take much to make that a very useful space. Mm-hmm. So I caution you against considering it a storage barn because it's really, you should look at it differently.
Thank you. Any other public comment? All right, I'll entertain a motion to adjourn.
So moved.
Second. All those in favor?
Aye.
Meeting adjourned.
Lorna, I need to go to the direction, but I need to talk to
you.
Thank you for letting me know.
I'm always welcome.